Now, if you did not see anybody worship, it was because you had your eyes closed. That was awesome. Thank you, guys. You know what? We're so blessed that we have all these little missionaries who go to the nursing home and try to bring the light and love of Jesus. Then they come here and try to bring some life into us. And so I'm so thankful for that. This morning, I want to do something a little different than the normal way we would go through this. And I'll start off with, I want to tell you that when I was growing up, I loved so many things about my dad. And one of the things I really loved about my dad is actually a fantastic storyteller. And I remember, so we would do things like, you know, we'd hunt together all the time. And when we were, you know, on the way to the tree or something, he'd be telling me a story. Or one of the big times I remember stories would be when we were either putting up vegetables at the end of the year, or every year my dad cooked a Brunswick stew in a pot that was about as big as this pulpit. And we would start before the sun was ready to get up, and it would be late that evening before it would be done. And I didn't like stew, but I was out there either way. And we'd be sitting around that big pot, and I remember Dad telling all these different stories, and he could tell them about just about anything. And one in particular is just hard to forget. So he told this story about, he said, one year, right around Thanksgiving, it got cold. Bitterly, bitterly cold. And so here it was. It was just so cold. And then in Warrenton, it was so cold that the electricity had some reason had malfunctioned, and nobody had electricity, and everybody was just freezing in their houses. And so Dad was trying to heat us with wood. And in this particular time, at this particular cold snap, it was so bad that you couldn't go and just get some laps out of an edge of a cutover or something. Everybody had scooped all that wood up. And so he had remembered that years before, he had been hunting this enormous buck, and that buck hung out deep, deep into the swamp, and he remembered two gigantic trees down there in that swamp. And he thought to himself, there is no way anybody has gone that deep into the swamp to get a tree. So he had an 026 steel chainsaw. And he got that, and he filled it up with bar oil, he filled it up with gas mix, and he goes walking down through the swamp. Now, it was cold enough that he walked across the top of the swamp. And he got about 30 feet from those two big trees, and he looked back and couldn't see the truck and looked back at those trees, but he knew he had to get some wood for the house. So there, knowing that it was going to take a minute for the chainsaw to warm up in such cold weather, he pulled that steel, and if you own a steel, you know what he did. He pulled it about 9 times before it started, and it started about that 9th pull, and he said he revved it about 3 times, and then he took about 2 steps, and he said there was no wind blowing at all, but it looked like one of those trees just moved, and he said, what in the world? And so he took another step and revved that chainsaw up one more time to make sure it was ready to cut. And as soon as he did, those two trees shot about 3 feet in the air. And he looked down below them, and there was that buck he had been hunting all along. What everybody thought was trees down in the swamp were actually his antlers. So that was my dad, all right, telling stories. Now that's just a little taste of what he would be like. All right. God has a story. God's is better than my dad's. We know God's word tells us about God. And I want you to know, though, that I love the way that we study Scripture, but sometimes we forget by chewing the little pieces that there's a big picture here, too. And so, As best as I can, if the grace of God will be with us, we're going to go Genesis to Revelation. And you're going to be able to go home and say, yo, what'd y'all do at church today? Oh, we just covered the whole entire Bible. I did leave out the table of contents and the maps. We will not be addressing those today. some of this, as I go through it, just before we start, you'll say, that's not a very natural transition from one thought to the next. And what I want you to know is that's because in my timing of myself, it took me about 19 minutes to read through what I have for you. That's not my whole sermon, so don't get excited. I've got 19 minutes worth of reading for you, and it is just quotes from particular passages all strung together to show you the big picture of the Bible as it moves through. You'll hear from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Joshua, Judges, Micah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. I skipped Romans out of grace to everybody. let's see, Colossians, Galatians, and Revelation, I think, are the books that all these can be found in. But let me begin at the best place to begin, the beginning. So just take a minute, or 19, and think through these things. Paint some pictures in your mind. One of the most vivid ways you can think through something and remember something and really carry it with you is, as I speak out the word of God, I want you to kind of see the scene develop in your own mind. Before television took over doing all the thinking for us, we used to read these things called books. These things used to create this imagery in our minds that we would kind of work hard to build up. I want you to do that this morning. Here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. That's John's title for Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God commanded man, "Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And God called and said, "Adam, where are you?" "I hid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then to the serpent God said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head. You shall bruise his heel." Now the Lord then said to Abram, "You need to get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you, and I'm going to make a great nation of you. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And the Lord said to Moses, "Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. For I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have come down to deliver my people from the hand of the Egyptians. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And you shall have no other gods before me. I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. The Lord your God will then raise up for you a prophet like Moses from within your midst, from your brothers, and him you shall hear." The Lord spoke to Joshua, "Arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And Joshua, the son of Nun, died. And when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the works which he had done in Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I have provided myself a king from one of Jesse's sons. But do not look on his appearance or at his physical stature, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And the Lord spoke to King David through his servant Nathan, I will establish your seed in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. And the Lord prophesied also more about that ruler. He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, the end of the earth for your possession. God spoke to Isaiah as well. He said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of his father David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even for forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Bethlehem Ephrathah, you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, even everlasting. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or registered. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And the angel said, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Then Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Then Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. For many miracles he performed, just to touch on a few. Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. They found out, and they said, five and two fish. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves, and he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate, and they were all filled, and they all took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ." And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he received his sight and began following Jesus on the road. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Later that night he prayed, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." The accusers said, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. They bowed their knee, they worshiped him, and when they had fully mocked him, they took the purple off of him and put on his own clothes and led him away to crucify him. When they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." And he said, "It is finished." Bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and he took it down. He wrapped it in linen and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. The women who had come from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how the body was laid. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said he would. Come see the place where the Lord lay." See, Christ redeemed us from this curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Jesus came, and he spoke to his 11 disciples, and he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus said to them, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. So I, John, turned to see the voice that spoke to me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its full strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he said to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death." And then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or even to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked and I beheld, and in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, there stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Please fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For that great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?' Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now the 1,000 years had expired, and Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations from which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. So they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came from God out of heaven and devoured them all. And the devil, who had deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven had fled away. And there was found no place for them to hide. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Write, for these words are faithful and true. It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He will be my son. Now I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. That city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of its street and on either side of the rivers was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. These words are faithful and true. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and end, the first and the last. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. There are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. All right. So, that's Genesis to Revelation. All right. Can't see out of my left eye, and I'm crossed up. All right. Here's the basic thing that I want to give you to hold this together. I don't anticipate that having heard that now, you just memorize that as I said it. What I do have a hope for is that as you listen to God's story, that several things stuck out to you that we need to pay attention to. One thing that I need you to know is our modern culture and our sinful self-focus wants to think that this life is my story. This is all God's story. It all belongs to him. The central character in all of history is not Martin Pinnell. It is Jesus Christ. All that has ever transpired is really about Jesus. He created all things, and they were created through Him and for Him. This is all His story. This is all really about Him. It is not about my life in the idea of money or cars or finances or any sort of thing, any other relationship. This is all about Jesus and His. He's that central character. If it's not about me and it's all about Jesus, then I need to recognize a couple more things about that God that I just looked at throughout the Bible. One of the things that should have stuck out to you is, listen, this God, this Jesus, is not some weak, pathetic, lonely guy who is just hoping against hope that you will like Him. He is infinitely powerful, overly joyous in Himself, God, and He has never once needed us to be completed. We are not what makes God special. God is what makes us special. And so, and you read that through the whole message. I mean, you go through that whole thing, and what I see, and you look into that Bible, and what it shows you from the very beginning, we can't fathom or understand this, but from before the words in the beginning, God already had a plan of redemption to set up so that when we sinned, He would redeem us for His glory. Now, He didn't just set up a plan, but He had the power and the authority to carry out said plan. There was nothing anyone in history could do to thwart God's plan. No one could stop it. That's incredible power. That is incredible wisdom and incredible planning on the part of God. And then we looked in there when we just glossed over some of those things. You know, there were moments where 1,000 years, 700 years, 500 years before Christ came, God gave an explicit detail about what Jesus would do and just left it hanging there in history so that 1,000, 700, 500 years later, when Jesus is on the scene, what happens? He fulfills the promise, and the people who were looking for the Messiah could look at that and go, wow, you see that right there? How do you know that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who could save? Because He did exactly what God promised He would do from long before. He fulfilled His promises, and God had that plan. And I want you to know that if you really think about it, something that just hit me as I went through this whole thing. The problem with us has always been unbelief. If you think about it, if you even go back to the garden, that's really what happened there. God said, you can have anything you want here. Don't eat from that one tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you do, you will die. Satan, when his temptation comes, he says, you won't die. Adam does not believe God. He believes the enemy. So if you go all the way back to the garden, the problem with humanity has been that we don't believe that God is who He is. Amen. And that's caused enormous problems. Every problem that we see currently in this world is a direct result of people refusing to believe that God is who He says He is. If we could somehow just all of a sudden, all of us come to this enormous belief. God is who He says He is, and I should listen to all that He says because of who He is. Every single problem in the world would instantaneously go away because we would be under the authority and the leadership of Him, and that is what develops a little bit later in that book. We looked at what He was like on this earth for just a few things. Could you imagine being blind and saying, is there any way you can make me see? And then hearing, you can see. And you look around and you can see. Can you imagine having to have friends carry you everywhere you go because you're completely paralyzed? Only to have Jesus tell you, not only can you get up and walk, but I forgive your sins. That's probably a good day. Probably a good day. Probably a good day. Can you imagine being an experienced fisherman on the Sea of Galilee, terrified for your life, and waking Jesus up only to have Him walk over to the edge of the boat and say, chill, that's enough. And all of a sudden, just calm, peace, still. Can you imagine being hungry? And Jesus says, well, what do you got to eat? I've got enough to feed a little boy. And there are about 15,000 people here. That'll probably do it. Bring that here. Let me pray over that. Let me break that apart. Let me hand that out. In fact, you know what? I don't want you to think I can just barely do this, so let's have leftovers. How about the fact that a God that can do all of that could also pray in the garden? You can do anything. Have this cup of suffering, this cross, this dying in the place of sinners, have that pass. But you do what you should do, Father. And I'm going to submit to you, not to what I'm saying right now. Unimaginable power for us, completely submissive to death, so that we could be redeemed. But you know, he was submissive to death and he broke death. He just broke it. He just went right in the grave, grabbed it by the throat and broke it. And 3 days later, just to fulfill a prophecy, he didn't need 3 days to recuperate. He just was doing it on purpose. He is out of the grave. Now, how did everybody know? Well, God wanted to make sure people saw. So he sent angels that freaked out trained, hardened Roman soldiers to the point that they, I'm going to add something here, wet themselves and fell out. Those faithful ladies were at the tomb, much less afraid than the men who had been following. Different story for a different time. Jesus then, he's with his disciples for about 40 couple days. He challenges them, he teaches them. He says, listen, you're now, you're my voice. You need to go, you need to go, you need to go. Now, when I look at that section, that pretty much the end of the Gospels through Acts and then through the pastoral epistles, you know what I keep coming away with? If this is the God that we serve, shouldn't we be about letting people know that they need to know the God that we serve? Amen. If this is the real God, then everybody needs to know what he's really like so that they can believe in him, so that they can experience the joy. Because one of the things that we must recognize is that the eternal future of someone who believes that God is who he says he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, those have a different future than those who continue to disbelieve that God is who he says he is. Did you catch that? That as we went through Revelation, there was this different picture of Jesus depending on who was looking at him. When John looked at him, he saw fierceness and awesomeness that caused fear, only to have God come over. And Jesus said to him, don't be afraid of me, I'm for you. Not only that, but this fierce warrior rides out of heaven with a robe dipped in blood and he goes to war. And I love this. Those that are his are riding with him. And there are two things you needed to notice about that before we move on to anything else. There are two things. Number one, your robe is not dipped in blood because it was not your blood that got you to heaven. It was the blood on the robe of the other one. Not only that, you and I ride out and we're just riding out to take the victory lap. We're not going to participate in the battle. We're like, all right, God, Jesus, what do you want us to do? He's like, I got this. I got this. The great enemy of all humanity, Satan, gets one more shot. God allows him, for his own reasons, to have one more round with people. And people gather together. It says that they come up in just an innumerable amount of people. They surround God's people and they're like, we're going to finally get God and his people. And did you catch how simplistically the scripture puts it? It doesn't give up. It's like, and this and this and then day 45 did. No, it just says, then fire came out from heaven from God and consumed them all. That is not what they had in mind in the battle plan. They did not believe who they were going up against. He then talks about that we must recognize that then there is a judgment. And those who have not believed in Jesus, those who have not put their trust in Him, they now will experience eternal separation from God in a place that is described as a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. That is the home of Satan and the Antichrist and the false prophet. And that is where they will be day and night tormented forever and ever. That is the destination of all who refuse to believe that God is who He says He is. But for those who believe that He is who He says He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, there is a significantly greater future. Your future, if you're a believer in Christ, is that this is the worst that it will ever get for you. There is only good that lays ahead for you. There is no eternal punishment. There's no eternal separation from God. There is eternal pleasure and joy in the presence of your God, who He says specifically you will see face to face. He doesn't say that God will continue to be separated from us. He says that He's going to dwell with humanity. He says that there is a city there, and that there is a gate system around the city. And it's one of my favorite things in all of Scripture. It says that the gates are never shut during the daytime. And then John adds a parenthetical statement. Do you know what it is? There's no night there. If the gates are always open during the day and there's no night there, what does that tell you about the place? It is a constant access to the presence of God where you can go in and see Him face to face. You should be significantly more impressed by that through truth. It is not about mansions. It is not about streets of gold. It is not about any of that. It is about constant free access to the God who loves you. That is what makes the presence of God so special, so wonderful, such a blessing. And then he describes so many other things there at the end of Revelation. Just a perfect river. So in other words, I want you to think, he uses these words of, there's this river that flows out, and the tree of life is growing around the river, and it's got this singular tree of life is represented 12 times as different fruits, and they change. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. You want to know what you're supposed to get out of all that other than slightly confused? You are supposed to know that all the pleasure, all the necessities that you have for all of eternity, they flow out of that throne. Everything that you will need for all of eternity is found in the source of that throne. There's one more point that I want to give you on that that I don't want you to miss. Do you know that without our sun, there would be no life here? We get our energy from the light that travels from the sun to here. Well, you should have noticed, there is no sun like we have in the kingdom of God that will endure forever. Instead, the life-giving source to us will be the God who sits on the throne and the Lamb. This God and this Lamb who spoke everything into existence has infinitely more power, infinitely more energy and life to give than any sun could ever hope to, than any star could ever hope to. And we need to recognize all these things. So, how does this all end up? Close it up in our mind. Christian, when you read through the Bible, sometimes when we grab the little chunks without getting the big picture, sometimes we begin to be able to write the story to be about us. God, what are you going to do about my situation? God, how are you going to respond to my need? And he says, story's not about you. You have an important part. You're special to him, special enough that he would die for you. But it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And so we need to be reminded of that. Some of you here, you have spent your whole entire life running from the idea that you needed to submit to a belief in Jesus. You have tried with all of your strength to reject him, to reject the truth about him, because you were afraid that if you gave yourself to him, that you would lose all the semblance of what life was really like. Well, the story of God recorded in his word tells you that you've never yet lived, because real life is for those who have come by faith in Jesus Christ and been raised from the dead spiritually to live. Will you bow your heads with me for just a moment? I want to ask, if you're here this morning and you're dead in your sin, you've never put your faith and trust and belief in Jesus and who he is and how he is the central focus of the entire story, I wonder if I might ask you, is there any reason right now that wouldn't be a fantastic time to begin living? Is there any reason right now you can't give your heart and your life to Jesus and say, I believe you are who you say you are, that you are a rewarder of those who come after you? Is there anybody here that would say, this morning, that is what I need. I need to be made alive from the dead. Will you look up here at me, lift your hand up so I can see you, if you want to know how to do that. If you want to know what it means to be saved and you want to know how you can be saved, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. It's not anything intimidating. It's not anything overwhelming. And it's not anything hard. It is just an explanation of who you are putting your faith in. And I've got people right here in this room that nothing would make them happier than to just very basically, very, very calmly explain to you that God loves you, that he wants you to be saved, and he wants you to put your faith and trust in him. Is there anybody here who would like to do that this morning and would like to know how? Just look up at me, raise your hand, don't be afraid. No, nothing to be afraid of. Okay. Christians, sometimes when life piles up high, we forget what this is really all about. And maybe you're like me. Maybe you needed God to take you into his word and remind you that he's really what this is all about. He's the primary focus, not us. And would you do me a favor? And would you just talk to him right now, right where you sit? Or you can come up here and pray around the altar if you would like. But wherever you pray, I just ask you to pour your heart out to God. And say that you recognize that he's what this is really all about. Ask him for forgiveness when you've tried to make yourself be the focus of it. And ask him to fill you with a burning desire that your life would be about pointing to him. And that every circumstance, every opportunity that you have, every lost person that you encounter, you would be able to say, this is not my story. This is the story of my Savior. And you need to know him. And we'll give you just a minute to just pray through that. And then we'll come back together as a group. Just take a minute and pray.